How's your health? How are you doing? How's your health? Some healthy people, some unhealthy people. You know, it's have you had a checkup recently? I'm one of those people that if it's not broken, don't go mess with it, right? Doctors don't see me very often. I praise the Lord for that. I'm truly blessed. But as you know, we're approaching the end of the year. We're approaching, can you believe it? We're approaching Christmas season, and you know what happens after that? New Year's resolutions. And so I thought I'd get ahead of the curve today. I get way ahead of the curve and start talking about New Year's resolutions today to give you some helpful advice, because I know you're going to get inundated with advice and ideas of what to do on New Year's and for the new year, the things that you should commit to. So this is free. You don't need to subscribe to the channel. You don't need to pay membership. But if you wish, you can give a donation to the church. But totally free advice. So there's four fundamentals of health. And you know all this. It's just always just good to go back over it. Rest, exercise, diet, and stress relief. And some would say there's five or four or three, but those are fundamentals. The first one is resting. You know, developing a really healthy sleep pattern. And this is something that we really struggle with in our society. But sleep is important because it gives the opportunity for your mind to disengage from all of the activity and the stress and the busyness of life. Gives your mind the opportunity to just kind of refresh and reengage with life. And a good night's sleep can really, really help you with your stress levels. Reduces stress. Gives you the ability to concentrate. And also, very importantly, a good night's sleep can help regulate your emotions. You don't get so mad so easily. You can handle stress a lot better if you sleep well. And then secondly, incorporating regular movement, enjoyable movement into your day, exercise into your day, incorporating that into a daily amount. You know that a sedentary lifestyle is one of the most damaging things that we face in our culture. Unwillingly, and not because of our choice, we get to spend a lot of time in hospitals and pain clinics and places. Incidentally, Debbie's here today, and she's having a better day, so we praise God for that. But, you know, not moving can really have a very negative effect on your life and on your health. In fact, I see people in the pain clinic that are just, you know, coming to get a shot because they've got pain here, there, or there. And sometimes they could just do some exercise. If they'd started the way they started out in life as a kid running around, they wouldn't have pain. But our sedentary lifestyle causes us to have pain. So move. And then eat foods that actually make you feel energized and strengthened and refreshed and satisfied. You know, there's no one diet that fits everybody. Everybody's different. Everybody's makeup is different. So find out what food works for you, what food... There's the five questions of interrogation for news reporters or reporters. You know, the what, when, how, and why. Look at that at food and start approaching food that way. Say, what did I eat? When did I eat it? How did I eat it? Or why did I eat it? And see the effect it has on your life. And when you start analyzing it, you'll start finding a diet that works well for you. Free advice for today. And then relax. Time to unwind. Time to relieve the stress of life. And sadly, we have no idea how to do that well in our culture. A lot of people say, I just need downtime. And then they turn on the TV or they pick up their phones and they're just staring at a screen. And let me tell you now, screen time is not downtime. Your brain is active. It hurts your brain to have all of that input all the time. And it's stress building, not stress relieving. So imagine this, read a book or take a walk in nature. You will be stress relieved. It'll de-stress your mind. So there's your health advice for the day. And I promise you, if you follow these four principles, it'll change your life. Guaranteed. But you know, the church also has principles for health. The church itself has health principles that if we follow, will keep us healthy and keep us strong and healthy as a church. You'll see in the coffee area, we have these pictures on the wall of the four pillars of the church. And these are four pillars. These are fundamentals of the church. We have drawings that, by the grace of God, miraculously, I can tell you the story. Some of you know the story of how we got those pictures. About 11 years ago, Joyce Lyle painted them for us and drew them and sketched them. But they were really fundamental in forming the church as we know today. And by God's grace, we keep looking at them. We keep going back to them because they're foundational and they're important for us. The first one is worship. Now, we were singing some songs this morning, but worship is way more than singing. Worship is much more than simply singing some songs. Participating in worship really is not about us. We worship the things that we give value to. Those things that we value are the things that we worship. And we're called to worship God, value God above all else. So when we make a choice to value God above other things, we're worshiping God. When we value God above our finances, we're worshiping God. When we value God with our time, when He tells us to do things, we worship God. Worship is conscious decisions of how we spend our time, our money, our resources, our energy. It's all worship. We worship God through evangelism, taking the time to go and share the gospel. Do you realize that sharing the gospel is worship? Because we value the gospel enough to tell someone else about the message of Jesus. It's worship. Worship is directly tied to the greatest commandment. Jesus said in Matthew 22, 37, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." That's worship. And then we have the Word, the next pillar of the church. And I think we've got the diagrams up there. Each one is slightly different. Again, those are pictures of a church building, and it looks like smoke tendrils coming out. If you look at the pictures, they explain it better, but essentially the Word comes in and goes out of the church. It's an essence that permeates through the building of the church and goes out into our community. And, you know, the Bible is God's authoritative Word to us. It's His Word to us, the revelation of Jesus. There's immeasurable power in the declaration of the Word of God. You realize that? Immeasurable power in the declaration of the Word of God. Jesus Himself used the Word of God to defeat Satan when he was tempted. The church that neglects the Word of God will quickly become unhealthy. Christians that neglect the Word of God will quickly become weak and unhealthy in their testimony, in their Christian lives as well. And then we have mission, the great commission we have that Jesus gave in Matthew 28, 19 to 20. We know about that, but He also gave instructions to the apostles as the church was about to be formed. He gave the instructions to the apostles, essentially giving it to the church in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That's the mission of the church. The mission of the church is to go and tell, to tell others about the saving grace of Jesus Christ, what He has done for us, the gospel message, the good news that He gave His life for us for the forgiveness of our sins, but then He rose again, overcoming sin, overcoming death, so that we might have eternal life if we place our faith and trust in Jesus. That's the mission. And it starts here. It starts in our community. It starts the moment we leave this place and we go into our communities, into our homes, in our workplaces, when we go across the states, when we go across the nations around the world, whether we go to Egypt or Switzerland or South Africa. That's the mission. But it also starts with our community and our neighborhood right around us. A healthy church takes the message of the gospel outside of the four walls of the church. Ernest Southcott said, "The holiest moment of the church service is the moment when God's people, strengthened by preaching and sacrament, go out of the church door into the world to be the church. We don't go to church, we are the church." Amen. And then we have compassion. Compassion is actually the outflow of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus was full of compassion, and he would see people. He would have, the Bible says on several occasions, he would have compassion on them. It's an outflow of our relationship with him. There's never a time when the church can say, well, the society and the community around us, there's no need for compassion. Everything is good, right? No, there's, especially at this time of the year, there's an increased need for compassion for those around us. The true question is, what does the Lord want us to do? What does he want us to involve ourselves in? Because there's never-ending list and needs around us in our communities. What does the Lord want us to engage with, to touch, to help, to care for in our community? Because we can easily be overwhelmed. We can act out of guilt. We can act because someone told us we need to take care of that situation. But what does God want us to do? And compassion is a pillar of the church. The Word of God is the foundation. It is a foundational pillar of the church. And as we study the Word of God, as we meditate on the Word of God, we're drawn to worship the God of the Bible. We're drawn to worship him. And as we worship him, we're drawn to go out and tell others about him. And as we encounter people, we're drawn to compassion for them as we meet people. These are all integral in a healthy church. Each one is vital. Without any one of them, the church is lacking and will not fully function as a healthy church. So how healthy are we as a church? You know, if our understanding and our paradigm for the church is just comfortable meetings like we have on a Sunday morning and everybody getting along and making sure that bills are paid and having good programs, I think our vision of the church is way too small. Our vision of the church is way less than what Jesus gave his life for. Jesus calls the church to so much more. And the reality is it's not our church. It's his church. It's not our church. It's the body of Christ. He promised to build his church, and he's continuing to do that throughout history. Right now in the world, there are more Christians, more followers of Jesus than there have ever been in any other time in history. Jesus is building his church. Recently, I actually was looking at the history of Grace Point. You realize this year, we're 114 years old. Do any of you feel 114 years old, right? No. So Grace Point, formerly Swope Park, has a long and storied history of 114 years of being faithful to the Word of God and impacting our community. I looked at the list of mission trips and outreaches and community involvement that the church has had for 114 years. Also found out that I'm the 13th pastor of Grace Point. So it's that's my legacy, is number 13. But no problem with number 13. But Grace Point has a long and storied and treasured history. And you're a part of that history. We're all part of the body of Christ, that God has called us together and drawn us together. But what does God call us to be and to do in 2026 as we're looking forward? We cannot rest and look back at the history and say, look at all the amazing things that we've done. What is God calling us to do in the future? You cannot rest on your laurels as a church. And you know, every church goes through periods of health and unhealth. There's a lot of churches that are unhealthy and go through struggles, and we've been through those seasons of unhealth and struggles, but God, by his grace, builds his church. And as we declare the word of God, health is restored, mission is restored, the church is built up. Sometimes the church loses its first love, as we saw in the series of the letters to the churches that Jesus wrote to the churches in the book of Revelation. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, and he was encouraging the church to be healthy. Turn with me today. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4, and just a few verses in Ephesians 4, and these are very familiar to you, but open your Bibles with me, beginning at verse 11. Of Ephesians 4. And this is Paul encouraging the church to be healthy. Beginning at verse 11. And he gave, this is Jesus, gave to the church the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. Amen. Thank you. The church is to be built up in love and knowledge of Christ. So do you think we're healthy? Do you think we're a healthy church? You know, this summer we spent some time, remember we sat around tables and spent some time focusing on community and a healthy church and community in the church. And, you know, the church health is not measured by programs. Church health is not measured by the church's bank account, whether we can pay our bills, a financial position. The church health is actually not measured by the attendance and how many people fill the seats every Sunday. These are all actually byproducts of church health. Church health fuels these other things. Rather, the healthy church is actually made up of healthy followers of Jesus. Individual health, spiritual health, contributing into the church creates a healthy church. So when we want to look at a healthy church, we need to look at ourselves and say, am I spiritually healthy? If I'm not spiritually healthy, I cannot contribute to the health of the church. Again, church health is not following a set of programs or duties, but spiritual health is actually being in a right relationship with Jesus Christ, a personal relationship with Jesus, living daily as one filled with the Spirit of God. That's church health. That's individual health. You know, we're all in different positions in our Christian walk. We're all growing more like Christ, the Bible says. We're not all super Christians. None of us are super Christians. We're all followers of Jesus, dependent on the grace of God to live our lives every day. None of us can say we've arrived, right? None of us can say, okay, I got it all together. I know everything and I'm living perfectly. None of us can say that. The Holy Spirit convicts us daily of things. If we're listening to the Holy Spirit, He's going to convict us of things daily that we need to work on, that we need to improve on by His grace, by His strength, to become more like Christ. And in the church, we need one another to walk alongside one another, to strengthen one another, to encourage one another, to challenge one another in our Christian walks, growing together in our walk with the Lord. In our text today, Paul is encouraging the church. He's saying, you know, grow up, become stronger, become healthier, be unified, use the gifts that God has given you. Do you realize that God has given us gifts, spiritual gifts here within the body, and we need everyone to participate and to use those gifts for the glory of God? Again, the church is not programs. It's not societal norms that we follow. The church is the body of Christ. God has called you in here. You have a gift. You have spiritual gifts that we need to be healthy as a church. Notice verse 12. When church health comes from doing the work of the ministry, verse 12 is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Who are the saints? It's the body of Christ. It's the followers of Jesus. All of you, all of us, we are being equipped to do the work of the ministry. Looking back at verse 11, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers are given to the church to equip the church to do the work of the ministry. And we don't have time to look into these five roles and five gifts And I know some of you are just hoping I would dig into that and start studying those five gifts. Let me tell you just quickly, we don't have time. I'd love to talk to you about it. I believe all five are for today. But I also believe that our definition of what those five are very tainted by our culture, tainted by experiences as well. And I believe that they are for today because Jesus wouldn't give five gifts to the church, five ministries to the church, and then take away some of them and say, okay, now I've complete the Great Commission. We need every one of these in our church today, but I think our definitions are sometimes wrong. But the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers are actually people in the church. They're us. These gifts are in the church. Jesus gave them to the church to equip us all as they themselves are being equipped. If somebody comes and says, well, I'm the prophet, I don't need anything, but I'm here to tell you what to do, that's probably not the person you want to follow. We're all being equipped as the body of Christ. And the equipping is part of helping each other to become spiritually healthy, spiritually mature. And this equipping, when we tend to think of equipping in our 21st century American culture, we tend to think of a classroom, right? Come in and sit down and learn. And you got a PowerPoint on the screen and you've got notes to take. Now, there's value in that. There's value in equipping through Bible study and study. I believe in that. But some of the best equipping comes by doing life together, by going out and doing. By being involved in ministry together, we grow when we are dependent on Jesus Christ to bring about the fruit. We grow and we are maturing as we exercise our own spiritual gifts. I believe that's true discipleship. When you go prayer walking and going out and sharing the gospel on a Saturday morning as we do it on first Saturdays, and you come and join us, I've never done this before, I don't know how to do this. And you go along someone's like Bill or Greg and you say, show me how to do this. That's equipping. That's going out and doing. And that's discipleship. So how do we know if we're making strides towards health? You know, if you have a goal in your physical health, maybe you want to lose 20 pounds, maybe you want to run a 10K, and you have this goal in mind and you said, this is the objective, I want to be able to, by the spring, run a 10K. Well, you need to have some measurable steps to know that you're making progress towards your goal, right? You need to have some benchmarks, some milestones. Maybe you want to measure your mile time, how long it takes you to run a mile. And if it takes you 20 minutes, you probably need to do a lot more work. But you want to see that you're making progress so that when the day of the race or the day of the event comes, you know you're going to be prepared for it. And much the same way in our Christian walk, we need to have measurables. We need to have things that we can say, I am making progress. There are measurables in my Christian walk to be able to sit and track our spiritual health. So how do we measure our spiritual health? How do we measure that? Because a spiritually healthy church, as we said, is made up of a spiritually healthy individuals, followers of Jesus. In these four verses from verse 13 to 16, we actually see four traits of a spiritually healthy person. So I want to quickly go through these four traits of a spiritually healthy person. These are measurables. The first one, verse 13, the healthy Christian is Christ-like. A healthy Christian is Christ-like. Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I've often looked at that final phrase and I say, we probably have no idea what that means. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Dwell on that. Think about that. Oh my goodness. The fullness of Christ. That's our goal. To know Jesus and to be known by him, but to walk in fellowship with Jesus. He is the ultimate picture. He is the ultimate example of spiritual health. The goal of every Christian is to become like Christ. And Paul begins the chapter with the following list. Ephesians 4, 1 and 2. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility gentleness, with patience, and bearing one another in love. Humility, gentleness, patience, love. How healthy are you? Those are benchmarks. The process of becoming more like Jesus is what we call sanctification. It's growing in our Christian walk to become more like Jesus. It's a process of dying to our old way of life, dying to our old way of thinking as the Holy Spirit transforms us daily into the image of Christ, being replaced by Christ's way of life in our lives. We only fully attain to that when Jesus comes again. We only fully attain to that when our bodies are glorified. But we need to be moving forward. We never get to the point in this life where we say, okay, I've done enough. I'm close enough to being like Jesus. I'm good enough. That's pride. And that's the beginning of all of sin in our lives. I say this frequently. If you're not more like Jesus today than you were a year ago this time, something's wrong. We need to be growing more like Christ. In fact, let's rather be blunt. If you're not more like Jesus than you were a year ago this time, you're not walking with Jesus. And if you're not walking with Jesus, do you know Jesus? That's what we really need to face. You grow more like Jesus if you walk with Jesus, and you walk with Jesus by walking with followers of Jesus. It's being in community. It's in relationship with other followers of Jesus. That's walking with Jesus. That's getting to know each other. That's doing life together. That's being in community. Secondly, healthy Christians have sound doctrine. Healthy Christians have sound doctrine. Spiritual health does involve intellect. We cannot fall into the trap that, you know, our Christian growth will just be based on emotional experiences and some kind of spiritual exercise, and we need to check our reasoning and our thoughts and our thinking at the door. Paul points out that the knowledge is an aspect of our Christian faith, verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. It's the knowing, it's the thinking, it's the processing. Paul refers people who don't think as children being tossed to and fro on the opposite end of the spectrum, verse 14, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness of in deceitful schemes. And we love our children, but they don't always make the best decisions, right? That's why they have parents to help them, to guide them, to correct them. And sometimes as Christians, we don't always make the best decisions. And we can be unstable and easily directed and swayed in different directions. We all enter into our relationship with Jesus as children. That's the beginning point. It's the new birth. You become a new creation in Christ Jesus, and we begin as children. And children sometimes are gullible and sometimes eat the wrong things and feed on the wrong things. Just a word of caution, there's a lot of good teaching and good preachers on the internet, but I guarantee you there's more false teachers on the internet than good. There's a lot of false teaching out there. It sounds good. It has enough components of good things to draw you in to say, well, I agree with that. I agree with that. And then the message starts twisting and you start thinking, I guess I can accept that because everything else has been good up until this point. And we start getting drawn into false teaching. You'll never see a YouTube channel that's highlighted, says right at the top, this is false teaching. Listen to this. No, it'll never be that way, right? The enemy comes in very subtly to take us, to sway us. And how do we know truth from falsehood? It's the discernment of the Holy Spirit. As we read God's word for ourselves and meditate on God's word for ourselves, we will be able to identify when something is off. And we also have in the church people who are gifted in the gift of discernment to be able to go to them and say, what do you think about this? Do you think this is right? And we can help one another and learn from one another. Train up your mind. Romans 12:2 states, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. False doctrines are all around us. We need to think. We need to pray. We need to ask God for discernment. We have a very real enemy who uses every tool that he has and he can think of to lie and to steal away from the body of Christ. Satan's ploy has never changed. Began in Genesis, where he said, "Did God really say?" And he's still throwing that out every day. So to avoid pitfalls, know the Word of God. Spend time meditating, reading, and studying the Word of God. Statistically, most people don't. Statistically, most people who go to church on Sunday, that's the only time they open the Word of God. Now, my role as the pastor and the elders of the church, our role is to defend the Scriptures and to protect the flock, to protect you from false teaching. But I cannot be with you, and Matt and Greg, we cannot be with you every day and every moment of the day to say, "Hey, well, watch out for that. Don't watch that. Don't read that. Don't listen to that." No, we cannot do that. You need to grow up. We need to grow up. Feed ourselves. Isn't it wonderful if your parents and your children actually learn how to feed themselves one day? And it's like, yes, we're making progress. Tim, you got a ways to go, Tim. But you know, some people think that they can grow by just eating once a week. How long do you think you would survive if you just ate one meal a week? You'd probably die in a few months, right? How do we think we can as Christians just open the Word once a week and let someone else teach it to us for maybe 30, 40 minutes and think, "Okay, I'm good, I'll survive"? No, the same thing will happen to us. We'll grow weaker and weaker and weaker. Thirdly, healthy Christians, truth in love. Now, and I intentionally took that little piece out of the verse from verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. And you've often heard this verse, and I phrase it as kind of taken out of context and used as the baseball bat in Christianese, right? If I want to tell somebody something that I really have an issue with them, and I say, "I'm just going to tell you the truth in love," and then we go and beat them on the head with what we want to say. But we couched it by saying, "I'm just telling you the truth in love." Often there's not a lot of love in that, and it doesn't produce good fruit. But it's so much more than simply speaking words. It's living the truth. It's teaching each other to live the truth out. John Stott describes this word. It's a complex Greek word, this one, speaking the truth in love. It's actually, he uses the English word, he makes up an English word called truthing. Are you truthing? In other words, are you living the truth by your life? Speaking the truth in love is truthing in love. And it includes maintaining the truth, living the truth, displaying the truth to those around. And who is the truth? Jesus. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." And we know that phrase that says, "Actions speak louder than words," right? But that's what really is at the heart of speaking the truth in love. It's our actions should display Christ to those around us. And when we speak up, when we help each other, when we encourage each other, when we see someone is living in an immoral lifestyle or someone is doing something that's damaging to them, we speak the truth, but in love. We point them to Jesus. We speak with grace. The reason we speak with grace is because we're all sinners saved by grace. None of us can say, "Well, I'm better than you because I can point out something in your life that you're not doing right." Speaking the truth in love, having tough conversations. Healthy Christians in the body of Christ don't avoid tough conversations, but it comes from a position of love, comes from a position of caring for one another. John Stott says, "Truth becomes hard if it's not softened by love. Love becomes soft if it's not strengthened by truth. You know, I'm so blessed to have friends that speak the truth in my life. One of the best truthers I know is Eric Spady, and to call him out here. Eric and I have known each other for about 13 years now, and he is wise. He speaks the truth, and he speaks the truth in love. He's frequently had to correct me and frequently had to bring me back in line, point something out, and I receive it, I respect it, because I know it comes from a place of love. Do you have someone in your life that loves you enough to speak the truth? Because that's the bottom line. Do they love you enough to speak the truth? And if you do, don't dismiss their words of correction. Because immediately when Eric rebukes me, immediately my pride comes up and says, but, and I want to self-defend, and I want to say, but Eric, you don't know the backstory, right? Self-defense riles up pretty quickly when someone speaks the truth in love. Finally, healthy Christians contribute. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Paul the apostle goes back to the analogy of the body, back to that, and he speaks about the church, and the church is like a body of many different parts. He mentions this in Corinthians and in Romans, and we need to be joined together. There's no individual life in the church. We're all individuals, but when we come together as the body of Christ, we're dependent on one another, and we impact and affect one another. We're one body made up of different parts. The church is not a social club. It's not a place of convenience. If it's convenient, I'll go. Last week, we had the big map here, and we were praying for the persecuted church. I guarantee you, the persecuted church doesn't see the church as a social club. They've given their lives, literally many of them, to be a part of the church. Why? Because it's the body of Christ. It's not just a convenience or something that's culturally accepted. In fact, it's very unaccepted and very rejected in those cultures. But we need each other. We need the part that we each play in the body of Christ. Every one of you has a piece to play in the church. And as the church, we're dependent on Christ. He is the head of the church. Jesus, it's his church. He is the head of the church. He gave his life for the church. And we're dependent on each other, working as members of the body. So as we grow individually, as we grow more like Christ individually, we use our gifts, we exercise the gifts, we have the freedom to speak the truth in love to one another, we grow as the body of Christ and as the church and become healthy. You know, it's good to be health conscious, right? Nobody here would disagree. It's not a good thing to be health conscious, like I said at the beginning of the message, to eat well, to sleep well, to exercise well, to have a good plan. But what if we were more conscious about the need to be spiritually healthy? That's the eternal aspect of our lives, right? These physical bodies, no matter how much we take care of them, they're going to fall apart. The time is coming when your body's going to give out on you. I guarantee you, there's a promise. But your spiritual health, that's eternal. Let's become more focused on our spiritual health and the importance and the value that we spend taking care of our spiritual health. What a privilege to be united in Christ. What a privilege to be united together as the body of Christ. The church is so much more than simply a gathering place. We have different ways to plug in and get connected and different things we do. We have obviously Sunday mornings. I want to encourage you to come on Wednesday nights. We're kind of building out Wednesday nights to have different life groups and different study groups and things on Wednesday nights. And we encourage you to start coming to that if it hasn't been part of your routine. But it's another way for us to grow together as the body of Christ. We have prayer meetings, Tuesday mornings, Wednesday mornings. And I want to thank Dave and Kim for heading up our prayer ministries, kind of launching out, and it'll now be first Fridays of the month at 6 o'clock in the prayer room that we're going to be meeting. These are ways that we engage with one another in the body of Christ and build one another up. And when we're praying together, the world around us changes. God moves on behalf of the prayers of the saints. God designs the church to be the salt and the light in our communities, to be the cultural influence for the glory of God. What steps do you need to do to take today to improve your spiritual health? What is God putting his finger on in your life this morning and saying, that area, you need to be more healthy. There's some things that need to be cut out. There's a little bit of surgery that needs to take place in your life to bring health into your spiritual life. We all need a health checkup. We all need a spiritual health checkup from time to time. Maybe you need to start coming to one of our men's groups, men's breakfast, or women's groups. Maybe you need to start re-engaging with a life group, getting connected in the body of Christ, building one another up. So I pray that as we leave today, you won't simply leave and say, well, that was an interesting morning. No, make a commitment to say, yeah, I need to get engaged in that. Whether it's our prayer walking, we have prayer walking still in Ruskin on, with Bill and Julia on Tuesday. Is it Tuesday or Thursdays? Thursday nights. And also our second Saturdays right here at the church, we prayer walk our community. Come and join us for that. Next week, Sunday, we're having Baptism Sunday. And if the Lord is speaking to you about getting baptized, please come and speak to me. What a wonderful way to kind of testify to what God has done in your life. And then as a church, we're all built up because we celebrate what God is doing in your life, what he has done in your life. So as we close, I want to invite the worship team to come up and a ministry team to come up to pray for people. And maybe you want to just stay where you're seated and pray. Maybe you want someone to come and pray for you. So come up and pray with one of our ministry team. Maybe just ask the person next to you to pray for you. But let's engage with what the Lord is saying to us today. So as the worship team comes up, I'm going to pray, and I invite you to engage with prayer. Would you stand with me as we close? Lord, what a privilege to be called by your name. Thank you for your church. Thank you, Lord, that we have all come from a position of being children. Teach us what it is to grow. Teach us, Lord, to become healthy. In areas of our lives, every one of us has areas of our lives that's not healthy spiritually. And I pray, Lord, that you would teach us, lead us, convict us, Lord. Point on those areas right now that need a touch of your hand. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd begin to do that surgery, that work in our lives to strengthen us, to equip us for the work of the ministry that you've called us to. So I praise you, Lord. I thank you for your grace, for your love, for drawing us together as the body of Christ here at Grace Point. You've been faithful to this church for 114 years. So Lord, what does the future look like? What do you have in store for us as a church? We praise you and we thank you, Lord, that you're faithful to your church. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.